Last week we talked about living faithfully for God's glory, and this week we will discuss using our speech for God's glory. So, almost everywhere we go, we don't see that or hear that. We hear people using words in destructive ways, very destructive ways. It really doesn't matter where you are, if you're at work or out in the community, at a grocery store, wherever, people really do understand the power that they have to do harm with their speech, and they use that power. I imagine I could ask almost anybody in the room, and they would remember a recent situation where someone was doing this. And it'd be nearly impossible to go for a day or two in this world and not hear some kind of verbal abuse, gossiping, lying, foolish talk, and we could go on and on, all kinds of different things. And we know ourselves that when life gets stressful, when the pressure's on, maybe when we are being mistreated by somebody, I don't know, it's a great temptation to use our speech to hurt others who may be hurting us or to retaliate in ways that would not honor God. But as God's children, we must use our words, along with all other things God has given us for the glory of our God. So we want to take every opportunity to use our speech as an instrument for God's glory. And Scripture has a great deal to say about our speech. What is acceptable and what is not. What is wise and what is not. And what gives glory to God and what does not. So we're going to look at that this morning. The first thing I want us to do is to see that the power of our speech is defined by Scripture. These will be verses that you're familiar with, but we need to be reminded about them. So while we communicate in many different ways, it's with our speech, our words, we use most. Now, today we send emails and texts and that kind of thing, but those are our words. That's our speech, whether it's in written form or typed form or what have you. If we want truly reliable information from another person, most of us would want to choose a face-to-face conversation to get what we're looking for, get that face-to-face communication. And it's clear that God's plan for His creation is to be able to communicate, converse, live, function, understand one another. And a large part of that understanding of functioning together comes from our speech. So we will read several passages as a reminder to us that our topic is a serious one and one that I'm sure there is room for growth for all of us. So let's jump into this first point here, and we're reading passages that kind of give us a definition of the power of our speech. So Proverbs 18:21 says, "The tongue has the power of life and death. Those who love it will eat its fruit." So as we move through a number of these passages this morning, notice the connection of our speech to extreme effects on others. So the first one we just read, the tongue has the power of life and death. Seems like a very serious issue in the Word of God. Proverbs 12, verse 18 says, "Reckless words pierce like a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing." Notice also, not only the extreme effects, but the complete opposite outcomes that the tongue has the ability to produce. We'll see a number of verses about this. So, the one we just read, reckless words pierce like a sword, very bad thing, very harmful and destructive thing, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Positive idea, very valuable attribute, healing. Proverbs 15:4, "The tongue that brings healing is a tree of life, but a deceitful tongue crushes the spirit." The tongue that brings healing is a tree of life. The positive connotations there are obvious. But a deceitful tongue crushes the spirit. how destructive that is, how difficult that is. I'd like you to turn to James chapter 3. This will be one of our larger texts. We'll read a portion now and we'll read a portion later. We'll also look at Matthew chapter 15. But James chapter 3 for right now. James is addressing this very topic, this very issue. Controlling your speech, using it so that it does what honors God instead of tearing people down. And he's just started in James chapter 3, gives a couple of examples about the tongue and speech. He says, put a bit into a horse's mouth, you turn the whole horse, or you take a ship, although the rudder is very small, turns a huge ship. And then he says in verse 5, likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. And remember what I just mentioned before, how very extreme these definitions or descriptions of our speech is in Scripture, or are in Scripture. So verse 6 again, the tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of his life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. Very extreme terms. Verse 7, all kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and creatures of the sea are being tamed and have been tamed by man. But no man can tame the tongue. And look at this. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. A restless evil full of deadly poison. So, what are we to say about passages such as these? Reckless words pierce like a sword, crushing the spirit. Restless evil, full of deadly poison. James, under the direction of the Holy Spirit, getting carried away with his description of what the tongue or our words can do? Was he embellishing for emphasis? I don't think so. Of course he wasn't. This is God's word telling us exactly the seriousness of our speech and our words and what can happen if those words are not controlled. Well, anytime we open the Bible, we need to be prepared and hopeful that we will be changed. And with just these few verses that we've read, we should understand that Scripture is saying to us there is important life-changing truths that you need to learn about your speech. And it is to your own detriment that you ignore these truths. The Bible is serious when it talks about the power of our speech. It should never be viewed as something that doesn't need careful attention. So as we try to define the power of our speech according to Scripture, we can say at the least, it is more powerful to help or hurt than we might have thought in the past. If we don't think about our speech very often, then we probably need to be reminded of the great power of that speech. So I hope that we will all be more conscious of what comes out of our mouths in light of what we see in God's Word today. So that's a little bit about what Scripture says about the power of our speech. And now that we've established the seriousness of the issue, let's consider how we can be sure to honor God with our speech. So if it is very powerful, then we have a wonderful, powerful instrument in our hands to, we've talked about the negative quite a bit so far, but also a lot of power to do what is right. So, let's talk about these things. First of all, we want to make sure that we are avoiding destruction with our speech. We've already seen that God's Word says our tongues are full of deadly poison. Now remember, James was writing to Christians when he wrote that letter. Christians obviously needed some reminders about what was coming out of their mouths, but it was a message to believers, this full of deadly poison message. So we need to know that what our tongues are capable of so that we are better prepared when the temptations to use our speech for destruction arise. So let's remind ourselves from Scripture what it says about the powerful tongue and speech that we have that can really cause a lot of destruction. And we'll consider a few specific ways that we cause damage and destruction with our speech. One is lying. Proverbs 26, verse 28, a lying tongue hates those it hurts, and a flattering mouth works ruin. A lying tongue hates those it hurts, and a flattering mouth works ruin. Proverbs 12, verse 22, the Lord detests lying lips, but He delights in men who are truthful. We've talked a lot about truth in these last months and the lack thereof in our world. The lack of that truth is creating havoc in many countries around the world. And it is destroying people. And in our own country, we see the same thing, the lies that are being purported. People are literally being destroyed. It is no surprise then that we read the Lord detests lying lips, but He delights in men who are truthful. 1 Peter 3:10, for whoever would love life and see good days must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from deceitful speech. God's Word says if you would love life and see good days, you must keep your tongue from evil and your lips from deceitful speech. Truthfulness is very important. Lying is very, very destructive. And there's gossip. Proverbs 26, 22. The words of a gossip are like choice morsels. They go down to a man's inmost parts. And that shouldn't be understood as a positive filling or satisfaction. They go down to a man's inmost parts. Rather, it's probably along the lines of it affects the whole man. It goes all the way down and throughout, in a sense. The words of a gossip are like choice morsels. We like choice morsels. It's hard for us to resist a choice morsel. It's hard to resist a juicy piece of gossip. Be warned by Scripture that it will affect you all the way down, in most parts. The words of a gossip are like choice morsels. They go down to a man's inmost parts. God warns us against the gossip. Avoid it. Don't be involved in it. Hastiness. It's another way that we can cause destruction with our speech. Do you see a man who speaks in haste? There is more hope for a fool than for him. How much hope is there for a fool? Well, many places in Proverbs tells us there is no hope for a fool. That continues in their foolishness. A man who speaks in haste, there's more hope for that fool, for a fool, than that man who speaks in haste. Why is it so dangerous to speak in haste, to be hasty with your words? To me, at least one thing comes to mind when I've heard people speak in haste, not to say that I've never done it myself, but often they don't have all the information. They don't have the truth, although they think they may have it. But they're speaking in haste, and then it often results in them having to either apologize, if they would be humble enough to do that, or have to admit that they were wrong because they spoke too quickly. Why did people speak too quickly? This is the second thing that comes to mind. Again, most likely somebody wants to be the first to say something about whatever is being talked about. Or they want to be seen as somebody who is smarter than everyone else. So let me get in there first. Let me put my comment in there. And then they don't have all the information, and a lot of problems arise from there. So God tells us, don't do that. Don't speak in haste. He tells us in other places things related to that. Be careful of what you say. Don't pretend to know everything. Don't be hasty in your speech. So we have lying. These are things that are destructive. Lying, gossiping, hastiness, and then talking too much. Proverbs 10, verse 19 says, "When words are many, sin is not absent, but he who holds his tongue is wise." Again, I think that talking too much is an effort to try to impress people. Say, look at how much I know, and my opinion is most important. Proverbs 17, verse 28. "Even a fool is thought wise if he keeps silent, and discerning if he holds his tongue." Even a fool is thought wise if he keeps silent, and discerning if he holds his tongue. It's not saying we should never speak. It's saying that we need to not be hasty. Don't talk too much. Know what you're talking about. Be wise in the words that you choose. So these are just a few of the warnings that we have in God's Word from our loving God to help us avoid damaging and destroying others and making ourselves look foolish as well. These should be committed to memory, and these truths. And there are many more passages that we could add to this. So, looking at the power of our tongue, our speech, and how powerful it is, were you aware that you had so much power? According to the Word, we are very powerful just by being able to speak. Power in the wrong hands or in the wrong mouth, however, can be very dangerous. You ever consider yourself as a dangerous person? Probably not. Probably not, but we must keep our speech in accordance with Scripture, or we may end up using words that pierce like a sword. We need to know what Scripture says about our speech. We need to practice what it says with our speech so that during those times when we are tempted, we have the Word of God to rely upon and to act upon. Our speech can be very destructive. We need to avoid those destructive practices. Next, we need to pursue righteousness with our speech. So it's not enough just to say that, to not say the things that are wrong. Of course, we need to do that, but that's not enough. We've been given speech, words, communication to bring honor to God through many different venues. So, in addition to resisting the temptation to tear others down, we must also build each other up. So we can't just walk around and not say anything to avoid destruction. We need to use that speech to build other people up, which in turn honors God. Proverbs 10 verse 11, "The mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life, but violence overwhelms the mouth of the wicked." Here's a great contrast again, but we'll focus on the first part. The mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life. Here is great power in our speech as well. The fountain of life. That is certainly a reference to how we affect other people's lives. The mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life. Verse 21, Proverbs 10, "The lips of the righteous nourish many, but fools die for lack of judgment." The lips of the righteous nourish many. We have the power to nourish people. And that's not talking about food, physical food. That's talking about encouraging them and nourishing them in their souls and in their righteousness. Proverbs 25, verse 11. "A word aptly spoken is like apples of gold in settings of silver." Certainly, this picture of a sculpture of some type, probably apples of gold in settings of silver, would be very beautiful, very appealing. And a word aptly spoken is like that. So we have a responsibility to use the speech that we have to encourage people, to build them up, to strengthen them. Such as what it says in Ephesians 4:29. "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths." Any unwholesome talk. Don't do it. Don't let it come out of your mouths. "But only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs." according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Nothing negative, everything positive. That's what the Word of God tells us to do with our speech. Now, there are some times, of course, where people need to hear truths that are not good to, or not pleasant to hear, but that, in the long run, is a positive speech aspect that people are needing to hear. What is helpful for building others up could be a rebuke, but that should be done in love, and in that way, they would benefit from that. So, these first four verses that we're looking at, obviously we have the opportunity and the responsibility to use our speech for righteousness and to build others up. And then you have Psalm 51, which takes us in a different direction, up towards God. Save me from blood guilt, O God, the God who saves me. And my tongue will sing of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. It goes without saying that we need to use our speech to be praising and worshiping God. And perhaps the greatest way we can use the speech that God has given us is to praise, worship, and thank Him for saving us from our sin. And I hope we are doing that often. Well, we will close with one more passage. Actually, we have two. That's a mistake there. But these are very important as we consider our speech and the words that come from our mouths. And I just call this the window to the heart. If you turn to Matthew chapter 15, we'll read a number of verses here, Matthew chapter 15. In Matthew 15, this chapter, we have a fairly common account of the Pharisees trying to find fault with Jesus, trying to catch him in some kind of sin or doing something wrong. And they attempt to do this by directing their attack on the disciples who didn't follow the tradition of the elders by washing their hands before they ate. So let's read this, starting with verse 1. Then some Pharisees and teachers of the law came to Jesus from Jerusalem and asked, "Why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? They don't wash their hands before they eat." So notice the comparison that Jesus is going to make here. They have the traditions of the elders. He has the Word of God. Verse 3, Jesus replied, "And why do you break the command of God? For the sake of your tradition. For God said, 'Honor your father and mother, and anyone who curses his father or mother must be put to death.' But you say that if a man says to his father or mother, 'Whatever help you might otherwise have received from me is a gift devoted to God,' he is not to honor his father with it. Thus you nullify the word of God for the sake of your tradition. You hypocrites. Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you. These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me." And we're going to take a look at this connection between the lips, their speech, and the hearts. "They worship me in vain. Their teachings are but rules taught by men." Jesus called the crowd to him and said, "Listen and understand. What goes into a man's mouth does not make him unclean, but what comes out of his mouth, that is what makes him unclean. Then the disciples came to him and asked, 'Do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this?' He replied, 'Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be pulled up by the roots. Leave them. They are blind guides. If a blind man leads a blind man, both will fall into the pit.'" So here is Peter's question. Explain the parable to us. So, at Peter's request, Jesus explains to his disciple his statement about what makes a man unclean. Verse 16, "Are you still so dull?" Jesus asked them. "Don't you see that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and then out of the body? But the things that come out of the mouth come from the heart. And these make a man unclean." The things that come out of the mouth, the speech, the words, these come from the heart. And these make a man unclean. "For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. These are what make a man unclean, but eating with unwashed hands does not make him unclean. So, Jesus said it's what comes out of the mouth, it's the speech. He adds the person's actions as well, but initially we see that what a person says is a revelation of what lies within the heart. Do the actual words make a person unclean? But in part, but the point is that our speech can be and is a window that allows the condition of our hearts to be seen. Our speech draws back the curtains and reveals either a heart that loves God and wants to live for His glory, or a heart that desires to live for itself. Now, it's true that we can hide the condition of our hearts with flowery speech. We know what we're supposed to say when people are around, and we can hide it if we want to, but however, it's often the case that when we get angry enough or frustrated enough, we will spew forth the true condition of our heart, if it is not a good heart. Or if it is a good heart, that will be revealed as well. For the Christian, that window needs to reveal a heart that is consistent with washing and rebirth and thankfulness. Let's continue with James. You'll need to turn there. I have the verses for you there. James chapter 3, verses 9 through 12. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men. Remember, he had just told them that the tongue is a world of evil, full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. This is a problem he's addressing with them. I think our brother said, as he was praying earlier, God help us to learn and do what we learn and not just go away and forget about it. So, out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. So we look at nature and we see that if something is, God's created something for a purpose, like a fig tree or grapes, that's what they do. They produce that. The grapevine doesn't bear figs. You'll never see that. What about the believer? We are changed by the grace of God. My brothers, this should not be. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be. We can be a fountain of life for others. We read that. We can nourish others. We can encourage others. And we can build others up according to their needs. All this honors God. There are so many people who need all this, the nourishment, fountain of life, encouragement, building them up. Will we use the speech that God has given us to honor Him? Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we ask again that You would change us, that we would take Your word seriously, as You describe our speech in such serious terms. Help us to be wise enough to know that this is something that we should focus on and be thinking about often. We do ask again and pray that You would give us a desire to please You and honor You with all things. We think especially of our speech this morning, that we would speak and use our tongues in a way that would please You to the best of our ability. And we ask this in Jesus' name.